Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Prasky. Theirs was a most unusual political partnership, a general who achieved glory in World War II and a conservative young senator from California. Yet Dwight D. Eisenhower and Richard M. Nixon came together on the 1952 Republican presidential ticket. Their odd relationship is the subject of a new book, and we'll examine Ike and Dick later on this hour. But first, a look at a growing demographic among the homeless. Missouri saw a 24% increase in family homelessness from 2011 to 2012. That's a lot more families without a permanent home. Unable to come up with a deposit, plus first and last month's rent for an apartment or house, and with a shortage of family shelters in the Kansas City area, parents with children turn to rent-by-the-week motels. Today, we'll take a look at what should be a short-term solution. All too often, it becomes a financial trap. Joining us, John Wiley. He's pastor of the River Church in Raytown and founder of River of Refuge, which works to transition families from motel living to permanent residency. John, nice to have you.
Good morning.
Thanks. Welcome to Up to Date.
Thanks for having me.
Chantal Wallace is the mother of two who spent 2 years cycling in and out of the motel existence. Chantal, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And joining us on the phone this morning is Nan Roman. She's president and CEO of the National Alliance to End Homelessness based in Washington, D.C. Nan, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning.
Nan, let's start with you, and let's start with that figure I just quoted, a 24.2% increase in family homelessness just here in Missouri. How indicative is that of what's happening across the country right now?
Well, the story on homeless families really is a local story. Nationally, the number of homeless families has been pretty flat for the last couple of years, and actually since 2007, despite the recession, the number of homeless families has gone down 8%. But when you look at the data more closely, what you see is not dissimilar to what you're describing there in Missouri, is that in about half of places the number has gone up, and in about half the number has gone down. That's sort of why we end up in the middle nationally.
Could that be a problem with the way the data is being collected?
I don't think it's so much the way the data is being collected. I think what it probably has to do with is housing markets, local housing markets, and also employment markets. So places where there's higher unemployment and more expensive housing, the homeless rates are going to be higher.
What's your theory, Nan, as to why the numbers in Missouri are what they are?
I really can't speak to the numbers in Missouri. I'm just not familiar enough with the situation there.
Okay.
Sorry.
The Reverend John Wiley, here in Kansas City, there's a distinct lack of shelters, specifically for families. Any idea of how prepared we are to deal with, you know, these greater number of families that are being plunged into homelessness these days?
Well, as far as being currently prepared in the Kansas City metro area, our last count of beds available for homeless families with children in the metro area was roughly about 38 beds available in the entire metro area. And we have some great organizations.
38 beds in the whole city?
In the whole city, set aside just for families with children.
There's different shelters for abused women, that kind of thing, but you're talking about families here.
That is correct. Typically what happens is if you have a family that goes homeless, the mom has to take the boys into a men's shelter, the women take the girls, the family gets broke up. So we're focusing at families with children and counting those beds at the ready.
I gather that 38 isn't quite nearly a high enough number that you'd like to see out there, John.
Not even close, especially when you look at in just Jackson County, the county where I reside, the school districts counted over 2,800 kids that are classified as homeless just in Jackson County alone.
Wow. What number do we need to have to help take care of the folks who need this help, the families who need this help?
Wow. Now, that's not a calculation I've ever ran, that number, because families come in different sizes and shapes. In other words, a mom can have two kids. We just rescued recently last week a family of nine, seven kids and a mom and a dad who've been stuck in a one-room motel for 2 years.
For 2 years. I gather that number, instead of being 38, should be several hundred?
Yes.
Easily. Okay. Chantal, you left an abusive relationship in New Orleans to return home to Kansas City, but with nowhere to go, you ended up at a pay-by-the-week motel with your two kids. How old were they at the time?
My son, he was 12, and my daughter, I believe, let me think. Yeah, my son was 12, and my daughter, she was like 10.
10, okay. And how much were you paying a week for that room?
$230 a week.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, $50 a day.
You haven't figured out that far. How did you manage to come up with $230 a week?
Well, my son was getting SSI, and so that helped. And then I ran into John Wiley and his organization. They was helping me as much as they could.
Yeah. $230 is a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Okay. What other expenses did you have to meet? Because surely you needed more than $230, right?
Right. Gas to get the kids back and forth to school, food, clothes, recreation things for the kids to do.
Just the basic stuff.
The basic stuff.
And the disability checks, were they enough?
No.
Not even close?
Nowhere near.
Yeah. How did you get by then? How did you manage that?
Going to food kitchens, going to Salvation Armies, just different resources.
Yeah. How did the kids put up with that, Shonda?
They held their head up. I think I cried more than they did, you know, behind closed doors, but they just stayed there and was strong with me.
Yeah. You know, Nan Roman, I gather that Shonda's story here isn't entirely unusual. Am I right?
Yes, you're right. I mean, a lot of the family homeless problem is really driven by the fact that housing is just too expensive for people to afford. We have a huge national shortage of affordable housing units. There just aren't enough. People who work minimum wage or in the vicinity of minimum wage simply don't make enough money to pay for housing. And as you pointed out at the outset of the piece, it takes a lot of money in deposits, you know, first and last month's rent to get into apartments. So people often end up renting by the week, which can be more expensive, but it's really a cash flow issue just because they can't get that initial deposit. That's why there's a new kind of initiative around the country called Rapid Rehousing that's really focused on just getting people that lump sum that they need in the beginning to get back into an apartment.
Because you want to get them out of something like a pay-by-the-week motel, right?
Yes. I mean, I Shonda can speak to this, certainly, but my guess is she could probably have rented an apartment for cheaper or comparable to what she was paying in the motel that doesn't have a kitchen and not great for the kids. And, you know, it's just it's really a cash flow issue.
Yeah, I was going to say, Shonda, you couldn't do the apartment because why?
I couldn't get the deposit and the first month's rent together at the same time.
That's a big chunk of cash.
Right.
And you have to get that together to get into an apartment. Well, John Wiley, you know, your organization is such a remarkable story, River of Refuge. Let's start at the beginning here. How did you become aware of this form of family homelessness? How did you stumble across families living in motels?
Well, I was simply driving down the highway in the community that I live in, and I observed the school bus stopping on a highway, on a divided highway, you know, 45-mile-an-hour highway. And I thought, well, the school bus is stopping here. The red lights came on. I thought, well, surely it's broke. The school bus is breaking down. And I came to a stop, and then to my surprise, I witnessed about 7 or 8 elementary-aged children get on the bus in front of a particular pay-by-the-week motel. That caused me to just go, wait a minute, if they're getting that means they get off here. And if they're getting off here, they live here? And that curiosity so drew me in that I had to know the story. This was 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that drew me into finding these families, learning their story. It took about 3 years to truly fully begin to understand the scope of what they needed to permanently solve this problem.
What kind of motel are we talking about, this first one that you spotted?
Sure. It's a clean motel. It's travelers stay there. In Raytown, right where I live. You know, the owners are great folks. They keep the place clean. You know, they bought an investment. They're not out to, you know, punish people, hurt people.
You wanted to hear their stories. How did you get those stories? You said it took a few years.
Yeah.
Tell me how you sort of infiltrated to begin to understand what was going on here.
Well, the very next week after I saw the school bus stop, I immediately went and found the owners of the motel and asked for permission. Could I come back with a few people, a few friends, and could we do a picnic, a barbecue out in a grassy area and draw the families out? I just wanted to have conversations to learn what was going on.
So your church brought a barbecue down and
We did face painting and brought a bouncy house. We did it within a few days. And just, again, to draw them out, I wanted to hear the stories.
How many families sort of came out to
I think that day we probably had about five families come out with their kids. So altogether, there were probably 25 or 30 of us all hanging out in the grass together having conversations. And that's when I learned a life lesson. As I interviewed my first person, a lady, and I don't remember her name, I asked her, well, how much do you pay? And she told me, and it was a lot of money. And I was I used to be on city council, and so I in the back of my mind, I thought, well, we're going to solve this problem, you know, with some political pressure. Because when she said this to me, she said how much she paid, I thought my first words to her was, well, that's not just, that's not right. These motel owners are taking advantage of you. Something ought to be done about that. And right then, I got a life lesson. This lady looked me straight in the eye, and she said, you don't understand. I thank God for these people, because if they didn't rent to me, I'd be sleeping in my car or a homeless shelter. It was that moment that I realized I needed to be quiet, spend some time, and learn the story of what's going on. That was a three-year journey.
What happened after 3 years?
Well, during the 3 years, we ended up renovating the kitchen, started eating with these families.
The kitchen at the
motel.
Mm-hmm.
We paid to renovate it. We updated the kitchen. I started partnering with area restaurants to cook food in local restaurants and have hot meals delivered for these families to eat. And we just started eating with them, conversing. We started doing Christmas with them at the motel. And in that process of time of 3 years, we started getting reduced rents for them in partnership. Bottom line is, at the end of 3 years, I was spending thousands of dollars a month keeping these families out of these motels.
And you were spending thousands of dollars just to what? To subsidize?
Subsidize their rent.
Lower their rent.
So they could save first month's, last month's security deposit. That's why I was doing it. We'd find a family that had drive, discipline, and determination to get out, and we would begin to financially participate with them, plus the cost of feeding everybody. It was an overwhelming cost at the end of 3 years. Matter of fact, I realized at the end of 3 years, I was as trapped in this motel as they were. I couldn't walk away from them.
Shanta, were you part of this hotel? Is that how you met John Wiley?
I'm not sure. Was it the Crown Lodge as well? Yes, Crown Lodge. That's where I began.
Yeah. What was it like having him hang around?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't get to actually see him till a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But once he was around, it was great.
So John, you started helping out these folks, and I'm wondering, so then what happened next? How does your journey continue after you hit the 3 year point and you begin to realize you need to do something else here?
That I'm trapped with them.
Yeah,
it really was a moment. I was heading down Raytown Road, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw the former Park Lane Hospital, 150,000 square foot hospital, shut down. And I was on city council when it closed, and I said out loud to myself in the truck, somebody ought to buy that hospital for my families. And no sooner had I said it, but that I realized, you know, I am that somebody. You can't connect dots like that. I see a need. I see a solution. Somebody ought to. And then you just blow it off, things remain the same. And I realized when I said that, I needed to buy the hospital.
But you didn't have millions of bucks to buy a hospital, John.
No money. Matter of fact, I'm going in debt supporting the families that I had. You know, when I say going in debt, I mean I'm barely staying afloat. So, you know, because it was the right thing to do, I went and found the owners of that hospital, some business owners that had bought on speculation to flip it for a profit. I walked in. I told them the story about the families. I painted a very clear picture of what I'd learned in 3 years. It's about a $16 million complex. And I said, hey, listen, I need you to sell me this hospital for $1 million for these families because it's the right thing to do. And the guy looked at me like I was from outer space and kind of cocked his head. And then he looked at me and he said, you know what? It is the right thing to do. We shook hands and we had a deal. That was 3 years ago. So we're rehabbing the hospital.
That quickly?
That quickly. In a single meeting.
One conversation, a guy said, I'll sell it to you for $1 million. It's worth $16 million.
Sold it for $1 million. And that was just the beginning of a whole string of miraculous provision that's come our way. Lots of favor. Three public hearings with the property. No one's ever stood to oppose us. We've had amazing donors come from all over the Kansas City metro area.
You know, Nan Roman, again, she is president and CEO of the National Alliance to End Homelessness. She's based in Washington, D.C. What do you make of this? Have you heard a story like this before?
Well, I think we've heard, you know, this is a beautiful story, certainly, and the commitment and the caring. And we hear it a lot. We hear it a lot from the faith community, which really is the backbone of the organizations that help people who are homeless. And I think, you know, what people are dealing with really, again, is just this tremendous shortage of affordable housing, which plays out in different ways all over the country. But we essentially have 7 million fewer units of housing affordable to low-income people than we have low-income people that need it. And it just creates this game of musical chairs in which a lot of families just can't get into a place. And there are all different ways, I think, that people are trying to accommodate that, including creating new housing, as we've just heard here, or helping people with those first and last months of rent, providing rent assistance. And people, the families have other needs, too, many other needs. But, you know, what we find and the research really indicates is that, you know, you really need the stability of a home to make those other kinds of services really work, to keep your kids in school, to take care of, you know, your own health, to get a job. It's awful hard to think about getting a job and increasing your income when you're not sure where you're going to be living next week or where your kids are going to be.
You said again that the number of available units were short by 7 million across the country?
7 million and losing ground every year.
And we're losing ground why, Nan?
Oh, we're losing ground because we're not, the federal government isn't supporting the creation of as many units as it used to, because a lot of affordable housing units, apartments, get converted to condominiums and co-ops because affordable housing gets torn down. There's a lot of NIMBY, not in my backyard, so there's opposition. I said it's fantastic to hear that no one is opposed to what you're trying to do with the hospital, but often people aren't so lucky. And when they try to do affordable housing development, you know, the neighbors think that their neighborhood is not a good place for that to be.
Hang on a second, Nan. Why wasn't that a problem for you, John, with River of Refuge and the hospital you were trying to buy here?
Well, we sit literally on the border between Kansas City and Raytown. And so because it's on the border, it just was, you know, the public hearings were in Kansas City. But it being right on the border, a lot of people think it's in Raytown. And so it's just kind of one of those things where we're in the right place at the right time.
Are there neighbors nearby?
Oh, very, very much so.
And how are you coexisting with them?
Peacefully great. We have some great relationships there.
Yeah. But, Nan, your point is that oftentimes is a big stumbling block here.
Yeah. And it drives up the cost of the housing. But I think the other thing is, just to reiterate, that there's also, I mean, incomes have not increased nearly as much as housing costs have increased.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people, the economics just don't work. You know, there's no community in the country where someone can work a full-time minimum wage job and afford a modest apartment using the federal standards of paying not more than 30% of their income for rent. It's a little bit of a complicated equation, but essentially, people earning minimum wage just have a really difficult time finding housing they can afford. And as a result, two-thirds of people who are poor and low-income are paying more than half of their income for rent.
Mm.
You asked Shanta about that before. You know, it just doesn't leave enough. If you're paying half of your income for rent, your income's already only $10,000-$12,000 a year, you just don't have enough left over for food, for medicine, for transportation. You're unstable. It's a downward spiral.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking about family homelessness, this trend of families renting, living in rent-by-the-week motels, and how expensive that is. And a relatively new organization, River of Refuge, that has stepped in from Raytown to help here. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888. Our email address is uptodate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. I'm just fascinated by this story, John Wiley's story about the River of Refuge. Nan, just again, wondering, so who's leading the way these days when it comes to dealing with this issue? Is it the government? Is it nonprofit groups like John's? What are you seeing out there?
Well, there's a significant amount of public investment in trying to end homelessness. The federal government has set the goal of ending family homelessness by 2020. That's the administration. Congress has been putting money into homelessness, not so much into affordable housing, but into helping people out of their after they're homeless. So there is money coming from there, and also from states and localities. The delivery system, the people who actually are using that money to help homeless people, is pretty much exclusively nonprofit and faith-based organizations.
Yeah.
So it's really a partnership between the public sector, also philanthropy and generous individuals, as John has described, put a lot of money into that, and then the nonprofits and the mission-driven organizations. They're the ones who help. And I think we've also, there's been a lot of focus more recently, a little less on the sheltering and temporary solutions and more really on getting people into housing, because that's where they need to be.
I was going to say, I wasn't sure I heard you right. Do you question the way the federal government is spending its money when it comes to dealing with the situation? Is too much money going directly to the people themselves as opposed to housing, or help me with that?
No, I don't. I think the federal government, the federal money is getting more and more effective, actually, and that's why the overall number hasn't gone up nationally.
And it's more effective. Why, Nan?
It's more effective because it's focusing more and more on getting people into housing faster.
Okay.
I mean, most people, 80% of people who are homeless really largely for economic reasons. They don't get any payments themselves individually,
mm-hmm.
but we've been providing more sort of shelter, which doesn't really help. It gives them a roof over their head, very important, but doesn't help them get back into housing. So now there's a lot more focus on really helping people get into housing.
And because, Nan, housing is the key ingredient here, if I'm hearing you right.
It's absolutely the key. It's the driver in homelessness. Housing affordability is the driver. And obviously, if you're housed, you're not homeless anymore.
Yeah.
You may have other problems, but you're not homeless anymore.
John Wiley, how many units do you have at the hospital now that can help folks who have been living in motels and can transition to your place? How many people can you help at a time?
Well, currently, we're in our third year. And in our third year now, we've started building out our first 50,000 square foot area. Our first year was spent going through some zoning. Second year was gutting and raising funds. In our third year now, we're getting ready to open our first 11 units, 2- and 3-bedroom apartment units.
And they haven't opened yet.
They're not open. We should be open. We're about a couple $100,000 away from raising the goal we need to get those units open.
Shanta, are you going to be – is that where you're headed here, or where you hope to be headed?
No, not any longer. I got a home now.
You have a home?
Yes.
How did you get the home?
Well, with the help of them, they gave me the first month's rent.
It got you squared away.
Yeah. I found the house, and
we helped her out.
The landlord didn't ask for the deposit, and so they gave me the first month's rent.
How long you been there?
About 6-7 months now.
How has it changed your life? How has it changed the lives of your two kids?
It changed us dramatically because my daughter, she glows because she got her own home again. My son, he's happy. He's autistic, so he just couldn't care less either way. But
how about you?
I'm comfortable. I'm thanking my God and my blessings every day.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
And what do you think about River of Refuge and what John, the good folks there, did for you?
I'm speechless because I went through a walkthrough at the River of Refuge 2 years ago. And he showed me, like, if I was going to stay there, where our apartments would be. And
in the hospital you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they brought us through the rent, the food.
Financially, Shanta, are you making headway? Are you still going paycheck to paycheck?
Paycheck to paycheck, yes.
So it's still a struggle.
Yes.
But I gather there's some more stability now than there was before.
Yeah, because you learn how to kind of budget your money a little bit better. Just a little bit better, just to make it through that week to week, because they even cut off the food stamps, you know. So you got it.
Because you've been on them for so long?
No, because they say I make too much money.
Oh, okay.
Minimum wage.
Hey, how much are you spending now for your home versus what you were spending before when you were paying by the week at the motel? Are you saving money on that end?
Yeah, a little bit, just a little bit.
But a little bit helps, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, John, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the purpose of the River of Refuge and the reason we bought the hospital isn't to create the hospital as a permanent place for housing. The program will operate in such a manner that they will live and eat for free so that they can pay themselves into a savings account, break the cycle, and get into their own home. Our goal is to bring them in, get them healed financially, and get them into stable houses and apartments as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And how much money, where are you at with money right now, John? What do you need? Where are you at? How are things shaking out?
We need to we need about another $200,000 to finish off the 11 units that we're trying to build out. You know, because everything with us is money in, we build today. We don't finance anything. So as the donations come in, we move forward, and then we need to raise about another $150,000 this year just to help us with our over operating costs. Because in the meantime of us as we develop this hospital, we get more and more phone calls. So it's a double-edged sword for us.
From people who want help.
Who need help. So we have this tension with us all the time. Families calling every single day. Even as a result of this show today, I'll get phone calls.
Yeah, how do you deal with that? I mean, because you clearly are a man who wants to help.
Yes.
And in so many cases, you can't.
There's a lot of times we have to say no. And what we do in our saying no is we'll refer them, get them to other organizations that maybe are more closely aligned to help. Right now, I can only help about 4 to 6 families a month. When I get my next my first wing open in the hospital, I'll have 11 apartment units open in a single day.
And that's great, but that doesn't cover the need.
It doesn't cover the need, and there's a lot more to go. This will be a lifelong project for me. It's a 150,000 square foot hospital. It's licensed for 350 beds. I'll be on this project for the rest of my days. I'm 51. I'll probably retire doing this.
We'll tell our listeners in just a moment how they can connect with River of Refuge. Let me grab a phone call here first, though. Steve from Lee Summit. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. I see this situation on TV all the time, and almost invariably I see that, the people have, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids. Why do people this day and age with birth control, they have to have so many kids? And, why do I have to pay taxes to take care of them? Why do they have the kids? That's what I want to ask.
Okay. John, what do you see out there?
Well, I can't answer that except to say that the kids are here.
Yeah.
And I deal with that reality, why they had the kids or how they got. You know, I will say this. I know that I have families trapped in pay-by-the-week motels right now today that 3 years ago worked at Sprint.
Really?
Yes. They're in a motel. They were in your typical, house in Lee Summit, in Blue Springs, Olathe. And they're in motels today. So this gets stereotyped a lot as this is broad. This is a metro-wide problem. And we're all about one couple of paychecks away from being in the exact same situation that Shanta's in.
Yeah. Shanta, you work full-time now?
Yes, I do.
What kind of job do you have?
I work at a seafood restaurant.
Yeah. A seafood restaurant?
Yes.
So again, but you're going paycheck to paycheck and you're just barely getting by.
Right.
Even though you're working full-time.
Right.
Not an unusual situation at all.
Not
at
all.
Yeah. John, if folks listening out there want to connect with River of Refuge, you've expressed some need for funds, some other help your organization needs. How can folks connect with you and the work you're doing?
Well, there's a couple of ways. I noticed on your guys' website, you've got a story posted for this show. They can go to your website.
KCUR.org.
And see the story that was written up with Shanta. And there's a link there. Or they can go straight to riverofrefuge.com. Riverofrefuge.com.
Okay. Great place to go. Nan Roman, I want to thank you for your time today. She's president and CEO of the National Alliance to End Homelessness. Nan, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Shanta Wallace, good luck with you. Appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
And John Wiley, pastor of the River Church in Raytown, founder of River of Refuge. Thanks so much. So
Thank
good
you.
To have you.
Thank you so much.